Monday morning, pulling out in the tool truck. Already got it warmed up, so we're good to go. How about you? Did you have a good weekend?
Made it through it. Yeah, I wasn't expecting you to be working today. Well, you know what? Shops like that are open, regardless of holidays.
Mainly the government shuts down for this one.
Got any mail today, right?
I believe you're correct. I don't know. I don't keep up with it much anymore.
T-Mobile.
KO4HKX.
Good on the weekend.
Right up till about 4 o'clock this morning. Hope yours was.
It was last night, so I'm also off to a rough start this morning. What happened with you?
Off.
Well, after 4, that was it.
Two. Getting back on after my pit stop at exit 90.
About there on that road.
It's dry as a bone for now, so not too worried about it.
My partiers that are out floating around still ready to come home.
It was a really big red hat party last night, wasn't there?
I guess there's some of them are probably heading home now. I hope they weren't drunk.
Pretty late this morning, so I think we're probably going to be okay.
Maybe hadn't come to yet. If the rest of the guys are going to be working today.
He won't be working today. He's off, and he is up at his mother-in-law's.
Today she works for federal government, so she'll be off. My dad is off. Well, he's on disability right now, but his office is required to be off on all the federal holidays through their government contractors, so they have the day off, but I still get to go in. Really promising candidate apply for my open position, so I'm going to be interviewing him on a call tonight at 5. I'm kind of excited about it because he has just the skills I'm looking for, so I guess that's one good thing I'll have today for Monday.
Works out for you.
He's been designing batteries for another company for like 5 years, and he's just got the right amount of experience that I'm looking for, and using the, you know, even been using the same microcontroller and other kind of stuff that we use, so same CAD software and whole bit, so hopefully it works out and I can get him down here from Chicago and pick up the ball and run with it.
Right now.
There, and it's funny because he went to the same junior college that Courtney went to, my XYL, and just a little bit later, and she's also from the same town, Joliet, so have some good icebreaker talking points there.
I guess he's got a family in Chicago?
Not yet. I'll find out, but he reached out to us, and he's interested in applying for this job I've got, so he must be willing to make the move. I think he's probably in his late 20s. So I don't know if he's got a family or what, but I guess I'll find out and get to know him a little bit tonight on our first interview call. And then, assuming that goes well, I'll invite him down for an on-site interview next week, and we'll fly him and his family down and put him up in a hotel for the weekend and let him spend the weekend in Greenville and do stuff like that, let him check it out.
If he does have family, he's willing to relocate. It sounds like he'll be promising.
And our HR guy did a first HR interview with him, and my HR guy liked him a lot. So, we're going to pursue it and see where we can get with it.
Good luck with it.
Thanks.
Talking a month or two ago, you still going to continue?
I did. On my end, as far as I know, I don't need to do anything, but we'll see. The paperwork's not signed yet.
You didn't sound really like you were really wanting to.
Retirement, Patrick?
Money. But that'd be the only way. No, Macco does franchises in 10-year agreements, and mine is up this week. So, trying to find out. I haven't heard anything. District manager hadn't talked to me since last year about it. So I don't know where we're at. Who knows? he may walk up tomorrow and say, we're not going to renew you, and you're done. I get the impression he doesn't want me around anyway.
Well,
we don't. We're still with one another, but I don't like him, and I'm getting the impression he doesn't like me.
Do you make the numbers?
All but one of them.
I wouldn't think Matco is really in a position to lose sales.
Well, since I got into this company, when I got in 10 years ago, it was a whole different company. And it was more about the distributor and taking care of him and helping him do better and this, that, and the other. This district manager doesn't care about anything other than numbers. He doesn't care, doesn't come out to help you. Like I said, I talked to him once in the last year. That's what it is. And I don't know what else to say about it. I don't want to bash them, but they definitely got their issues too.
Another one for another company. There's all kinds of tools, trucks that I can think of.
For HDX, yeah, I can do that. I can go independent, where I just do it myself. I don't know. I've got job offers, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Job offers to come back turning wrenches. I've got a couple of my customers that want me to come be like a shop foreman so they can step away from the business and have a break a little bit. That kind of thing. So, I don't know. And we'll see we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
But it's good that you have some plan B and C and D maybe if they do decide not to renew you. But, keep us posted. Maybe, often, something that looks bad is actually something good. So, it might work out the best for you if they cut you loose,
I'm not trying not to stress over it. And the one number I'm not meeting it's not like I'm way off or something like that. It's like 5%, which in the grand scheme of things is not a whole lot. Purchase average. The national average is, I don't know what it is right now, let's say it's $4,000 a week. I'm 5% off of that.
Okay, that's what, $200?
And I'm just using those numbers, round numbers, but it's less than $500 a week difference. So I don't see that it's that huge a deal. And if he would come do his job, or Macca would do their job and give me tools instead of going on back order, might be different with 20-something thousand dollars on back order. Might meet that repurchase average.
Well, late uncle, he owned a hardware store in southern Alabama, and he became, people would come to his hardware store far and wide from hours away because he had this philosophy, if you don't have it, you can't sell it. And anytime somebody came in looking for something, if he didn't have it, he would order 100 of them and just stick them in a warehouse because somebody came one day and wanted it. And so people knew that if they needed something, they could go to him and he would have it. And they didn't even have to call because he had anything and everything in several warehouses. He was a big believer in inventory. And, if you don't have it, you definitely can't sell it. And nobody wants to hear, oh, well, I can order it for you, because I could go on the Internet and order it for myself. The whole point of having a retail outlet is that you have it and I can get it right now. So, hopefully they will wake up and see that. That's how Ryobi got through the pandemic, is that, we basically, our CEO said, okay, we're going to weaponize inventory. And so we actually did what it took to get stuff on the shelves, and we were the only ones who had anything on the shelf at Home Depot during the pandemic.
And that's what I'm dealing with. And all the truck repairs last year, that took a pinch on my buying power. know, I had to spend a lot of money repairing this truck last year. And so it is what it is. I mean, I can't, it's out of my control now. I've done everything I can do. So, you know, what else do you do?
Yep. Well, this is another one open. So, yeah, I think you'll definitely be fine.
That being said, they do like to start new distributors. They seem, that's what I was saying earlier, the business is not, or the company's not what it used to be. They're all about starting new distributors lately because they make more money on it. If you come in, they get your money, you fail, you move on. And it's, so we've been seeing a lot of that lately. You're not seeing guys lasting, you know, year, 2 years, and then they're out because they're just not making the money and not making it.
Property bond for title, you hope to get it back. Hey, aren't you?
I'm coming through Traveler's Rest now.
This morning up there.
Degrees this morning.
Here in Spartanburg, and it wasn't as cold as they said it was going to be up in Shelby this morning either.
Well, it wasn't quite as cold as they said it was going to be, but it's not supposed to get above freezing, so that's where, for several days, and that's where pipes will start bursting and people will start having trouble. So it's supposed to be pretty cold for the next couple of days.
Right now.
Tonight, but yeah, I've opened the vents in my basement to make sure that the HVAC system can dump some warm air in the basement. I'm out of firewood. I burned it all up last time it got cold. So I got to use the normal system and hopefully it can keep up. But yeah, it's definitely going to be cold this week.
24 over here on the signs. That's about what the truck's reading. So I'm going to say it's over here around 24.
It's really that cold.
It's a normal winter. You know,
it's
that time of year.
20, that is cold, but yeah, if it's not below 20, I don't think it's really even that abnormal.
It's supposed to get real cold, isn't it?
That is correct, and they're calling for snow up at the house, a chance of flurries tomorrow, so we'll see what happens.
We might get a dusting here.
Anything in Shelby?
Amount to anything, so not overly worried about it. The air is too dry, and there's not enough moisture coming in with it, so if it does flurry, it won't be much of anything, so. And up there around the house, there's no lakes for it to pull moisture from real close by, so we're good.
I live in Philadelphia in the wintertime. I still rode my bike to work, even if it was in the teens or even single digits sometimes.
When you're used to it, if you allow yourself to get used to it, most people won't ever get out in it to get used to it. So, you know, when they do have to get out, they freeze to death.
Got a group, and we hit the bike trail. You know, there was a bike path, you know, multi-use path along the Schuylkill River in Philadelphia. Every Saturday morning, 8 a.m., we were out there, and it didn't matter if it was 5 or 15 or what, but you just got used to it and just layered up, and I actually have rain on, so I bought some, I did have some battery-heated gloves for my bike, and, you know, good, but, you know, you pedal, you get warmed up, and then you're fine, but it's that first hour that just kind of sucks.
Another group of guys are looking at camping out this weekend for winter field day, and then we used to go riding our side-by-sides and four-wheelers while it was snowing, and you know, it's 20 degrees outside, your jacket would freeze over on the front side, but you were still nice and warm inside.
Yeah, field day, you have to be outside, right? For winter field day?
The club is doing an outside winter field day. They're meeting up there at Gene's place where they normally meet. But me and another group of guys got together and we're doing an outdoor station for the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
In 4A's at each.
Battle day this weekend, but I'm probably just going to do a home station because I don't feel like going anywhere.
won't be many people outside doing much of anything, so we'll see how it goes.
Winter field day, it was 2020 or 2021, I can't remember, it was during the pandemic, and I had my camper down at Twin Lakes Campground in Clemson, and I had a big 10 by 15 cabin tent that I set up outside, and it had a Mr. Heater, you know, Big Buddy heater in it with a big propane tank, so we actually had it at about 75 or 80 degrees in the tent, even though, you know, in the middle of January. And I think it still counted as an outdoor station because it was just a tent. Didn't have insulation or anything like that. So by the rules at that point, it was still good. But we were nice and toasty.
We're staying at the Saluda campground we got with them, and they're going to allow us to come in. And we'll have power and water, but and one guy's bringing a Class C motorhome. But the rest of us, I think, are staying in tents. I've got the gear for it. I hope it's still good. So, pulling it out last night and getting it ready. But, guys, I'm going to walk inside and grab a drink here right quick. I'll be right back. KO4HKX.
This weekend for Winter Field Day?
I probably won't. I've turned into I guess you'd call an appliance operator. I just use it for what we're doing now.
Nothing to be ashamed of there, you know. It's still fun, no matter how you cut it.
In the evening, we got a group of guys. We get together, and I make it on, some of the evenings. And then there's another one in the mornings. This is on HF where we chat a little bit. But, yeah, I don't do any of the field. I should. I may do another field day. I don't know. It'll probably be in spring or something, though. As we get older, we can't handle the cold as good as you younger ones.
I moved down here to get away from the cold in Philadelphia because I just got tired of it, the cold and the snow. I do like a good snow once in a while, but, just the cold, Philadelphia winter is from, late September to early April, and I just got tired of having to do months and months, riding my bike in the freezing cold.
When I was young, I could deal with the cold. It didn't bother me a bit. But now, I don't know, it's something, my parents used to tell me the same thing. As you get older, the cold starts getting to you. And I said, well, it never get to me, but it does now.
Better be a little toasty than too cold, better to be too warm than too cold, always.
I used to play golf in it. We would play golf. I was in my 20s and 30s, and we'd have a group. We'd go out. We've been out before when it was so cold it had snowed, and we drove toward Columbia till we found a course that was open. It didn't have, wasn't covered in snow, and that's how cold. And we played golf in it all day long.
Right here too, my God! I don't know what they've been doing with fabrics lately, but I've got this shirt. It's like this fleece-lined shirt. If I wear that, it doesn't matter how cold it is. I just don't feel it. And it's like my favorite one for cycling and running and doing stuff outside in the winter because it really does a good job of just keeping the heat in and keeping the cold out. And it was like $30 on Amazon, so I can't really complain about that.
The fabric has. I know we used to get, we'd bundle up, but then, especially on the golf course, it's hard to swing golf clubs all bundled up, but we used to wear not that thick of stuff when we'd go play golf, and it was like now just walking from the house to the shop is like cold.
I moved farther south after a couple more decades of dealing with it, but I just turned 50, so I've got some time left before I get really sensitive to it, but I might see Orlando or Miami or something like that in my future if I get any more sensitive to it.
Yeah, at 50, just, man, enjoy from now until you're in your 60s, and just extra enjoy that time right now.
I got my first back problems last year. I started having this pain in my lower back when Courtney and I would go running, and went and got checked out, and it turns out I've got, like, really, really bad stenosis in my lower spine, and it's causing, like, numbness in my feet and stuff, so I'm going to have surgery for that probably in the next year or so, because it's not getting any better with the shots they've been giving me. And, yeah, so it's my first, you know, first real foray into, like, old person problems, you know. It's just, you know, it's probably just going to be downhill from here, but I'm just going to manage it as best I can.
Bill, 50's a great age, man. I know when I turned 50, I was looking at it different. You know, I think, golly, I'm getting old. But now I look back, man, 50 was a great age. You know, 50 to 60 is just, it's just good.
I turned 40, so hopefully, you know, if I can get through this back problem thing and get back to my normal level of activity, you know, drop the weight that I've put on over the last year, like 20, 30 pounds or whatever it is, get back to feeling good, and I'll be great. But it's gonna be a rough year. You know, back surgery takes a while to get over, so I'm probably gonna try to get it scheduled for this spring, and you know, get over as quick as I can and get back to my normal activities.
And bike.
You know, it's hard to find time sometimes, but I do have an indoor trainer that we use sometimes, and I try to get out at least once or twice a week. I used to ride like 400 miles a week, and you know, then you know, I moved down here, moved up to Shelby, you know, got with Courtney, got the kids, got the dogs, and life got really busy. So you know, I immediately dropped like a couple hundred miles a week, and now we're, you know, we're lucky if we can get out for a ride every week or something.
So up north, a couple of them in Pennsylvania, and they're in their late 60s, and they're riding bikes. I mean, like you were just talking about, 400 or 500 miles a week. I mean, they're riding 60, 70 miles every day, you know, and I'm like, golly, these cats are in shape.
I lived in Philadelphia because it had such a huge bike community, and I was single at the time, didn't have any dogs, didn't have any real obligations, so all I did was I rode my bike to work. And after work, I'd ride down to the city, you know, tool around and head up the bike path, go up in the hills a little bit. And I was getting 60, 70 miles a day, you know, five, six, seven days a week sometimes when I was living in Philly. So that was not uncommon. And I knew a guy, I forget his name, but he was a retired coroner. And he was, I think, 80, 78 or 80 years old. And he was out there riding, you know, 200, 300, 400 miles a week at 80 years old. And, man, that guy was, you know, super in shape for a guy his age. It was pretty incredible to see.
Wind is put in, and one of the guys, Vicky asked, she said, how do you think he is? I said, I don't know. It's hard to tell, you know, you can't tell people, but I said, I don't know, he might be 60 maybe. And anyway, we asked him, he's 69 years old, and this cat, he did more of the work than any of these young people that were with him. I mean, he carried these windows. You know, we got three sets of stairs, and he carried these windows, I mean, all day long, up and down, and cutting them out, putting them in. 69 years old, and this cat was out doing the 30-year-olds.
WTJKT, yeah, that doesn't surprise me, to be honest. It really doesn't. I don't know what's changed today, but I don't think the younger generations just, yeah, they don't work as hard as we used to.
L4HX, yeah, that doesn't surprise me either.
N4AZE, yeah, Vicky and I both were like, wow, this cat's doing all the work. Yeah. Oh, incidentally, they're all in, and man, they work good. I did not realize I could tell the difference.
Working less hard now?
Yes, it is. I mean, I paid attention to it this morning, because when it came on, and I know it would come on and run. It seemed like, you know, when it's this kind of temperature, it would run a few minutes, then it cut off, and maybe 5-6 minutes it come on later. It was like 20 minutes before it came on this next time.
Good about spending the money then, doesn't it?
There's a quiet, Vicky. I said, do you notice some kind of silence or something? She said, yeah, it's different. There's a difference in the silence in the house.
It's better.
And they're tinted a little bit. Neither one of us really realized that. They've got it when the sun comes through at a certain angle. It's got a, kind of like a car does, a slight greenish tint to it. But it looks cool looking out of them. It's almost like a, almost like the very beginning of an eclipse. That'll probably go away, get used to it. But it is kind of neat, though. I said, I told Vicki, it looks almost like we're getting ready to have a little bit of an eclipse or something. But it's a cool look.
Some UV blocker on it, like windshields do.
The ones that were in there, they were double pane, double hung windows and all, but they were clearer, I think, or they weren't tinted. I don't believe, but you know, they were 35 years old, so I'm surprised they last that long. Radar done. Now the we do things as like gnats and elephants. A gnat something little and an elephant something big. You know that you get taken care of. So we're getting rid of some elephants. We're going to eventually do the heat system because they're old too, and it's just a matter of time when they go out. So we got to do that, and then a roof, and then I think we're going to do a little more painting, and then I think we're done.
I'll do the heating system in my house because it's like a 15 or 20 year old Goodman heat pump, and I have a natural gas hookup in the house, and I would love to replace that with an air conditioner with a gas furnace, and then, you know, maybe put in a vent-free gas fireplace in the basement to keep the basement warm. But that's a project for another time.
I'll give one of our fellow ham radio operators a shameless plug, because he actually helped me out with putting AC in the house. And he's on here, KB2HXS, during the day, and that's what he does. And very reasonable, good guy, and like I said, he's a fellow ham, too.
More about it, but we're in North Carolina, and I'm not sure he's licensed in North Carolina.
No.
Earlier, we got a quote from people that did the generator. It's a U.S. Energy Solutions. They also do heat and air. So he checked our systems and all. They're working fine, but you know, I think they're on borrowed time. But he gave us a quote on all the heat systems. I told him I want new ducts and everything. Just change it all out. And you know, this gas, it'll be, you know, compressors outside and then the gas under the house, you know, the name of the system that's under the house, little things like that. But anyway, that's the unit. The one's upstairs in the attic and the other one's downstairs in the basement.
Really don't know.
Just things. I'll just call it a heat exchanger or something. But anyway, yeah, the blower unit and all that's, and then the compressors, condensers and all are outside for the air. But we're going to change all that out along with all the duct work and everything. I think they call it a 20. Is it a 22 SEER?
The bigger one you need, how much SEER you get, or SEER you get, I mean.
I think there's a contact in there. It's a four-ton. One's a four, one's a maybe one's a four and a half, the other's a three and a half, or something like that. Something square feet, 3,300 and some 30. I forget what it is, but it's something like that. Had kids and all that. Now it's just the two of us. We really don't need this. We don't use all this house, but I mainly stay in the shop.
This is KBYQA. I got a question about, maybe when you guys know, I'm redoing my license, for, you know, every 10 years, it's time to do it. I got the forms all filled out, they came from American Radio Relay League, and that's who sends out the envelope. But they didn't say who to make the checkout to. I got to make a checkout for $70, so I did that, but I don't know who to I guess you make it the American Radio Relay League, you know?
ABC, isn't it, Patrick?
Last night I didn't know, and Duncan, are you sure you're filling out the paperwork to renew your license and not your membership for the ARRL?
No, I did that. I did that over the phone. ARRL. This is my license. It's a 10-year license. I didn't know it was you I talked to last. I'm sorry. I wanted to get it in the mail this morning. I'll just have to wait until 8 o'clock, I guess, and call. Probably be the best, I guess. I'm just anxious.
Bills, I got a solution for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Contact W5YI. They'll do it all for you. You have to pay them a little bit, but they'll do it all.
I'll go ahead and call.
That's what I did. I looked on the website, and I said, you know what? It's going to be easier just to let them handle it. So I did it that way this time.
I just got to sign who the check goes to. And I figured maybe if I call this number, they'll tell me the person to send it to us.
Something online when I was going to do it about the not to send a check. They wouldn't accept a check.
I got a letter somewhere with this thing, and it told. I think you can send a check or a money order, either one. But I can't find the paper that came with the forms. Maybe I'll go dig through my pile on my desk here again.
N4A's Eddie.
I'll get off here. It's cable activated. Thanks anyway.
Duncan and KO4HKX here. There's people will be on here today that can help you with that. I don't have an answer for it.
Straight to the website. FCC that's when I decided I'm not going to go this route again. It's too much trouble.
By the time I renewed, I just went through CORS online, and it was a process for sure.
Everybody, when they go to get their GMRS license or do anything, I said, the test really starts when you get on the FCC's website. That's the test for your license.
Yeah, totally dysfunctional.
Same thing for that GMRS thing?
Through the CORS section of the FCC's website, and you jump through all the hoops. They don't have to do any tests, a formal test, but they do have to pay a fee.
GMRS license after they reduce the cost.
Here now.
We double, Patrick.
Oh, sorry about that. It's $35 for 10 years. Sorry, Eric.
I thought, is that not what used to be family radio or something that was for free?
GMRS is free. GMRS you have to have a license for.
I guess you can have higher power output and stuff like that, but with FRS, those blister pack radios from Walmart, you know, they're like $20, and I think they're limited to like half a watt or something like that, and they're really only useful like across the backyard and stuff.
Yeah, FRS depends on which channel you're on. You can be up to 2 watts.
Because we use those at the lake on the jet skis and stuff so we could talk to each other. We bought them, I think it was at Radio Shack. They were still open. I still got some of those radios. Channels on them, maybe 10 channels.
Radio. Some of them have just FRS. Some of them have FRS and GMRS. So it just, because they overlap one another.
Channels for FRS, and then if you have GMRS, you get 22. And a lot of radios will say, oh, or 60 channels, but all they are is a combination of a channel and a PL tone or something like that. So they make it complicated, but really it's 14 or something channels if you have FRS, and then 22 if you have GMRS.
Well, what about CB radio? Where does that fall into all of that?
Public use radio, and you don't have to have a license for it now.
That's TMRS can have what kind of power?
50 watts.
Well, I was thinking they were, okay, yeah, I'm not familiar with this GMRS, so it's a lot more power than the CB radio.
CB radio, much more power, yes. But guys, I'm at my first stop, so I'm going to jump out of here. Eric, I hope you have a safe trip the rest of the way, and maybe I'll catch you this afternoon. And, dude, maybe I'll catch you throughout the day. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3, gentlemen.
7-3, Patrick, have a great day. I'm going to drop off here, too, because Courtney just texted me, and I'm getting close to the office anyway. So, dude, you have a great day, and I will maybe catch you tomorrow morning on my way in. You guys have a great one. W2JKT.
Patrick, yeah, make a lot of sales today, and be safe. And Eric, you too. Have a good one. Don't work too hard, and catch you guys later on. N4AZ.